I am. I ask again, what's the name of the Lord?
I am.
Anything you add to the name of the Lord that goes contrary to his nature and his personality is using his name in vain. Every time you say, or let me use the word, add sick to I am. What do you have? You said, I am sick. If you add sick to I am, you have used the name of the Lord in vain. Ask me why. I am cannot be sick. Who is I am? God. Can he ever be sick? So never use the word I am sick. I am healed. Even if you are feeling what? Sick. That's why it says in his word, let the weak say,
I am strong.
Because that is how you don't use the name of the Lord in vain. Every time you say, I am weak, you are using the name of the Lord in vain. Every time you say, I am broke, it's using the name of the Lord in vain. Can I am be broke? I am confused. Can God be confused? And you see, every time you use that word, I am, anything you say and add to I am becomes your reality, becomes what you become in life. Because the power of I am is the power of creativity. What makes all things to happen? Because it was the I am that made all things to happen. That's why when you read the scripture, Jesus will always say, I am. And every time you use the word I am, was it negative or positive? Always positive. In the time when they had no food, they were hungry, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that this great I am, who is the great Jehovah, will manifest his glory over your life more than ever before. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout this with me. Principles exist. Principles are at work. Principles have their power. Whether I like it or don't like it. Whether I know it or don't know it. Principles will always work. Sit down and never go down. If a man climbs a tree and feels that he can begin to walk in the air, so he takes off from the tree and does as if he's walking, where will he get to? He will go down and break his legs. That's if he doesn't die. Why? The principle and the law of what? Gravity will always be at work, whether he likes it, doesn't like it, whether he knows it or doesn't know it. What troubles many of us is that what is being at work around us are the principles of life that we are not adhering to. And consequently, they are taking their toll in our lives and we are seeing the results, either positively or negatively. In life, everything has its own reward. And the reward can be in the form of benefits or can be in the form of consequences that are negative. My prayer is that we all come to realization of the truth of things we need to know and things we need to do so that our lives can become everything that God wants it to become, in Jesus' name. is our month of greatness. And our text for the month, which is our memory verse for the month, is found in the book of Psalms 71 verse 21. And it is thus: Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Say it with me. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Who will increase your greatness? Who will increase your greatness? God will increase your greatness. God will comfort you on every side. And let me put it in a better way. When God increases your comfort, when God increases your greatness will give you comfort on every side. When God increases your greatness will produce dimensions of comfort on every side. Comfort on every side is a function of greatness. The greater you become in life, the more comfortable you become. So if you want more comfort in life, get more greatness. Life is in dimensions, and my prayer is that we will enjoy the best of life and the dimensions of greatness that will give us the best of comforts in Jesus' mighty name. Comfort is nothing but ease. Comfort is nothing but what you would, I would like to call soft landing. Comfort is when everything goes smooth and well without your struggle. It's a life void of struggle. Can I tell you this one truth? 90% of all the things of life, I like to say 90, revolves around money. Even if not more than. Money answereth how many things? All things. So which one does God answer? I leave it as a question. Pastor Shola, which one got the answer? If money, the answer all things. So God answers to the money that answers all things. God produces the money that answers all things. Simple question, therefore. What about those who don't serve God? See that, sir? What about those who don't serve God? That's why I began by saying principles. When you dwell upon the face of the earth, you operate by principles. God creates principles by which men must operate as long as they are upon the face of the earth. Now, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Yet, the Bible says, all things are possible to him that believeth. So, God, outside the equation of a man, that man can still see all things possible to him. So the real essence of God in a man's life is not just to give him stuff. Because the unbeliever can get stuff without even having God. True or false? So that's not the essence for which God is in our lives. Not to give us things. The essence of God in our lives is to make us like God also upon the face of the earth. Jesus left the throne of heaven as God to the earth so that mankind will become like God upon the face of the earth, returning back to heaven. For we came from him and we will return to him. That's the essence. Not about what we have, because people who don't serve God have these things. So if people that don't know God have these things, what about us who know God? We should really have them more in abundance. But the mystery is, many of us don't operate by the principles by which we should have all of these things. Now let me show you the mystery to life. It said, thou shalt increase my greatness, which means I have come to understand by this text that I receive greatness from who? From God. So if he's the one to increase my greatness, what should be my response to him? I attach myself to him more than ever before. Why do people attach themselves to people? Because of what those people can do for them. Am I correct? Now, it therefore means that people don't hang out with people for hanging out sake. They hang out with people because of what they can get from the people, what those people can make them to become. That is why you see great economists, great minds, great politicians, they are always looking at the table. They are playing the game, knowing where to go to, where not to go to, who to join, who not to join. They are calculating who can make them great. They attach themselves to such a person. Now the question therefore is, if it is true that God makes us great, how well have we given ourselves to this God? How well are we attached to him? How well are we connected to him? How well are we giving to him? Connectivity to the source of greatness will make us great. Being detached from the source of greatness will make us poor and make us small. I was speaking and teaching along the lines of this truth some days ago on this, our regular daily word and prayers, and I was teaching on Jesus being the vine. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. As the branch cannot exist and bring forth fruit of its own if it is not connected to the vine. And I said, the true source of life, energy giving vitality, comes from the vine to the branch. The branch has no thing of its own. It is its connectivity to the vine that determines its level of collectivity. Am I correct? So who you are connected to determines what you collect. The energy-giving vitality is what you call the fluid, the sap that flows inside the vine. It flows from the vine into the branches, and the branches produce fruit based on that flow of sap, which is what I call the energy-giving vitality. The minute the branch is cut off from the vine, is there a flow to it anymore? Before you know it, it begins to dry up. Men gather it and burn it. This is what God is saying. Your connection to him is the key to your greatness. Never forget, every one of these big men you see out there, many that don't go to church, they go somewhere. They go somewhere. They can tell you now they are going for fellowship. It's not church fellowship. It is one gathering of strange folks. Many of them gather together in occultic meetings called fellowship. Illuminati people, I hope you know, they are all occultic personnel. They have something they are worshipping. That is what enables them to become great. They draw greatness from what they worship. And if you must be great, Connect to God who will make you great. And know it without a shadow of doubt that God will make you great. And you will see greatness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things don't just happen. Everything is made to happen. I'll express it to you. Using the life of Isaac, who became great, who grew great, and became very great. Three dimensions of greatness. Isaac was great. He began to grow great, and then he became very great. Now please, Genesis chapter 26, let's look at these scriptures from verse number 12. The Bible says, "Then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great," number one, "and went forward and grew great." And grew, rather, until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. I pray that the Lord will breathe upon his word amongst us in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. I read in a place some years ago that some people are born into greatness. Some have greatness thrown or thrusted at them. While a third set of people, they build their way and fight their way, walk their way into greatness. Three sets of persons. Some are born into greatness. Some have greatness thrown at them, thrusted at them, given to them, and the third set of persons grow, walk themselves, walk their way into greatness. That I was not born into greatness does not mean I cannot be great. Am I speaking to somebody here? That greatness was not shoved at me, was not given to me, does not mean I also cannot be great. If I was not born into it, and it was not given to me, then I must walk and take it by myself. While I was growing up as a young man in this land, in this nation, we had great men who achieved greatness, and their children were born into greatness. Their children were born into greatness. We know them. Because that was the pride of yesteryears. How that men will tell you, "I am from this family or that family." Because the family is a great family. They were born into greatness. After a while, we found out that it began to shift. Before you know it, some people had greatness shoved at them, thrown at them, by virtue of the fact that they were in positions where great things were given to them, great options and positions were offered them, and then they too became great. They began to rub shoulders with the shoulders of the men and the sons of the great. And then before you could say jack, some bad small boys from strange quarters who were not born into greatness, and greatness does not shove at them, suddenly found out that they walked themselves into greatness and began to rub shoulders with those who were born into greatness and who had greatness shoved at them. And they beat hands down every other person because these ones walked their way into it. What you don't walk your way into, you don't know how to sustain. I'll say it again. What you don't walk your way into, you don't know how to sustain. What makes the butterfly fly is the period that it has to go through a struggle in coming out of the cocoon. The state of struggling gives it the strength it necessarily needs to keep on flying. So I say this to every one of us. You can walk your way from where you are to the place you need to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see those who are born into greatness, don't envy them. Tell yourself, I too will be great and greater than these. Taking this town alone years ago, when you call great men, many people will not be able to stand amongst them. Their children, they travel abroad on a regular basis because they are born into greatness. But now, even the children of the poor woke themselves into greatness. They are traveling all over the world, having the best of houses and the best of cars. So, you will see greatness in the life of a man who is the first generation of a person who is great. His father was poor, his mother was poor, but he grew up to become what? Great. But you see others whose grandparents were all great, and they are just coming out of the lineage of greatness. But what I have to say is, it doesn't matter whether it's from a lineage of greatness or it is the one that achieved greatness himself. A man must not live life small. A man must end up as a great one. Prophesy over your life and shout, I must be great. That is why I connect to God. I connect to God who is able to make me great. Isaac, that we speak about, the Bible says he had a relationship with God. Never forget. Isaac had a relationship with God by which he had connection to greatness. I want to bring it for two lights. Was Isaac born into poverty or he was born into greatness? Huh? Isaac was born into greatness. No doubt in that. Because Abraham was blessed in all things. Silver, gold, men servants, women servants, and all that. Yet, somewhere along the lines, the Bible says all the wells that Abraham even had, the Philistines had stopped them. Which means the businesses, the investments of Abraham, because wealth in those days speaks of source of revenue, is source of a withdrawal from whence you draw water that feeds the flock. Am I talking now? It's like an oasis in the wilderness. They call it oasis or an oasis. From whence in an arid land, in a dry land, whenever you see a well, it means things, development hangs around that place. So he had a great investment, but the Philistines stopped all of them. The Philistines stopped all of them. The Philistines hindered the businesses of Abraham. So somewhere along the line, what Abraham had that was his greatness, the enemy attacked. Am I talking to somebody here now? But look at what the Bible says. Did Isaac allow that to make him not to fight for his own greatness? No. Scripture says that Isaac went to dwell in Gerar. Take note, that was not where Abraham dwelt. Abraham dwelt in Canaan. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Gerar is the land of the Philistines. And in that land, the Bible says, there came a serious famine. everything was wrong and bad. The economy was in a tight and terrible state. And Isaac thought to leave Gerar and go down to Egypt. And the Lord appeared to him because he had a contact and a connection with God. And God said that he should not depart from Gerar, but dwell there. It therefore means he had a relationship with God. The first step to greatness is the connection with him who can make you great. We see Isaac connected to God. He could talk to God. God could talk to him. God could give him direction as to where to go to, what to do per time. The second step to greatness is locating the place where you should be per time. Because it's not every place that is your place. Everywhere is not the place. Many of us are everywhere, but nowhere. Many of us have gotten ourselves involved in many things, but nothing. We put our hands in this, put our hands in that, and put our hands yet in another. And the most you hear the person say is, "I hustle." The hustle go pay. The hustle go pay. God did not call you to come into a realm of hustling. Am I talking to somebody here? There must be a place. Not every place is the place. Not every business is the business. Not every person is the person. Not everywhere leads to the blessing. If I head towards Oluku, and I pass Oluku, and head towards Ore, and tell myself that worry I dey go, who the fool who? I am fooling myself. As you see me so, now worry I dey go, now worry I dey go. Yet I am headed towards Lagos, which means your actions, your wakarins, permit my language, your wakarins, your action must be synced to where you are going to. The way you live your life will determine where you are going to. The people you hang out with will determine where you are going to. If all the people you hang out with are okbes, okbe, you know the person they call okbe, mumu, mumu, you know the person they call mumu, mugu, mugu, you know the person they call mugu, akba, akbalakba, you know the person they call akbalakba, yeah, people. You know the people they call people? People with no future ambition. Confused. Usually follow them. Anywhere but left face, neither they can go. No direction for life. And you think you will end up becoming anything. Your destiny is fulfilled in a destination. Every man's destiny will find fulfillment in a particular destination. Everywhere not be the place. Oh. And you don't find comfort everywhere. You find comfort in the place where God has established your greatness. That a person is abroad does not mean he will be great. Even that a person is abroad does not mean he will be comfortable. It is not light that gives you comfort. It is not good roads that give you comfort. Am I talking now? They might have light, they might have good roads, they might have all the things, amenities, but that does not mean they are comfortable. Because this same person might be working 2-3 jobs and might not have time to even rest well. Things are not okay. He's hiding and running from police. Is it comfort? It's no comfort. But you are in a place like Nigeria. NEPA not get light, but you have one heavy duty 100 kVA diesel generator. And you have a second one to back up. And you have automatic switchover. Soundproof. Ah, wow. 24-hour light. You get that for your house. You have enough money to keep on buying diesel. And you know they shake you. You have car that passes through the road and it doesn't appear as if you are passing through gallop. Are you comfortable or are you not comfortable? Very comfortable. I entered into London some years ago and I was in Hilton, one of the Hiltons or one of the Sheraton, one of these big hotels. And my brother, my first cousin, who I used to look up to many years ago, when he came and saw me in the hotel, he said, "Mike." I said, "Yes, bros. Now you they stay here." I said, "Yes, now here you they stay." I said, "Yes, now not be here, you come with me." "How? You know how much they pay for this place per night?" "I know now, now here you." "Why?" "Because he is there, but cannot afford a night in that place. But me, when you come all the way from Niger, from Africa, see levels." Then he came home, and then came, we just built this house at that time, and we had about 3 or 4 cars just parked carelessly around, and he came. "He said, 'Who has this car?' I said, 'No, my own.' 'Who get this one?' 'Now my own.' 'Who get this one?' 'Now my own.' 'You?' He never came to my house again. Why? He did not believe I could have such level of comfort, even in a place like this. It is not the place you go to. It is the level of amount of greatness you carry that will give you the comfort you need in life. I release such greatness into your life. Such financial greatness. Such financial strength, such financial enablement, such financial liftings, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout, "I receive greatness to be comfortable on every side." In Jesus' name. I will not forget. The apple tree do not grow in Nigeria, but we eat apple fruits. But they don't grow it here because the atmosphere is not for it. Doesn't enable it to grow. If it even grows, it doesn't produce fruit. So it is not where you go to that matters. It is the place where you can grow and produce fruit. That is what matters. Where you can flourish. And flourishing is not found everywhere. That's why we must be careful to hear the Spirit lead us, like Isaac was careful to hear the Lord say, "Stay in this land. Don't go to that land." Which means there are some places you are not to go to. There are some places you are to go to. I will not forget. Like I said in the first service, I followed some brethren. Those brethren believed very much in antagonistic messages. They cursed I joined them to curse everybody cursable. Spoke against fathers, spoke against leaders, spoke against everything that the church represented. All because we wanted to cut out a class for ourselves. At the end of the day, we are not going anywhere. We are not becoming anything. I left my father in the Lord of that time of blessed memory, Papa B.A. Idahosa, Archbishop Benson Idahosa. I left him and I followed this young man. You will not believe me, for years I did not amount to anything. If people understood me at that time, those who, I don't know, is there anybody that was with us when we were in Magoru? Who? Deaconess? Any other person? Was Samba? I may be minister. Pastor Mrs. Agbonta. Look, I could stand like this, and I'm not lying, they will tell you, and teach for 5 hours non-stop. I'm not saying I'm imagining it. When I take microphone to start to talk, I could start teaching from about 9 o'clock. 9, 11, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. I am still teaching. I'm still talking. People will sleep, wake up, and I'm still talking. Teaching some dangerous truth along Apollo. Teaching dangerous hermeneutics and exegesis was deep like they can come. Criticize everybody criticizable. Looking at the very great sides of scripture. Looking at the in-between lines that dwelt among scriptures. Taught some dangerous things that made the head of people to grow wild and made people to begin to fight one another. I could come up with a topic and say you are Lucifer. I said, we want to talk about Lucifer. I say you are Lucifer. Somebody shout, I'll not be Lucifer. I say you are Lucifer. He said, no, I'm not Lucifer. Then I go deep and begin to teach on what Lucifer means. That Lucifer does not just speak of Satan. Lucifer speaks of the phosphorus one. The light being, the personality that carries grace. But with all those teaching, nothing good, nothing come. I was just happening. It is sweet me for body, but it not produce anything. That's why it's not just about you getting excited about what you are doing. What you are doing, it produce. It's not about having friends around you. All of them are the shock, when they laugh, when they play. What is coming out of it? It's an error to be in a place with a group of persons and your life is not going forward. You must choose to change such friendship and choose to change such levels of relationships. Am I talking to somebody here? Some people, all they want you to do is just come around them, make una just the gist, and una the gist, una the chop, una the chop finish, una go. You come, just they eat, they chop, they drink, laugh, you go back. You the old, they go. Nothing they touch your hand. You're not getting any better. You're not getting any younger. Leave such group of persons. Am I talking now? I follow these guys. Touch all these things. Left grace. And did not move any forward. Until one day, I found myself in Church of God Mission. I was walking quickly to pass Papa Idahosa's office. Just in case he's around so that he will not see me. Who they pursue me? Nobody. But because of the messages I preach, which was also against him, and my papa had to talk to spiritual father in the Lord, though, I did not want to see him. You know, when your mind they judge you, the person when you speak against, you know they like to stay with him. You are not comfortable in the midst of them. That's why scripture says, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. And so me, I was just quickly dodging. And as I was out to dodge, the man just come out from office. As Papa came out of the office, he just saw me and he shouted, "Lad, you! Ew! Papa, don't catch me." I bowed. Papa, good morning, sir. Where have you been? I've been looking for you. Then I said, I'm somewhere, sir. I'm somewhere, sir. Then Papa looked at me and with the words of wisdom, he said, "It is wrong to be somewhere. It is better to be." I said, I'm around. I said, "I'm around." He said, "No, it's wrong for you to be around. It's good for you to be in a particular place. Where are you? Where are you?" I had no answer. Because I was gallivanting. That was what changed my life. I returned back to him. And that was when ministry took a new turn. Because you see, there are certain people who are not destined for you and you for them. Being with them does not move you forward. Now, so promise, now so talk. Listen to me. It'd be like Lazarus that went to sit down at the gate of the rich man. He sat down at the gate of the rich man expecting that the rich man would give him something. But nothing came. He wasted his time at the gate of the rich man. Don't die at the gate of any rich man. If the man has nothing to offer you, leave him and look for somewhere else where your liftings will come from. That rich man can be a friend, can be a brother, can be an uncle, can be whoever he is. As long as that man is not willing to offer you anything, dust the soles of your feet and walk away from him. Why? In order to tell, before you know who could help you for life. In order to tell. If you don't get anything, the small one when he get, he go share them with you. Person will go tell you, say, when he better, when he better, when he better, I go give you something. When he better, what do you call that?
Story.
That story. That story. Thank you, man. And many of us, we are living our lives on promises. Promises that are not actualized. Make me remember those days in this Benin, in this city. I don't know if anybody remember this. When you see a small young man and you ask, what are you doing? He said, I wait for waiting. I wait for my brother. I wait for my sister. He said, go carry me. Carry me go where? Carry me go abroad. So you see young men, young girls doing nothing, waiting for their brothers to come and carry them and their sisters to come and carry them. And before you know it, they grow old and end up as nothing. And there were some in the church here. I told them, I said, I want to show to you that this promise will make you grow old here and you will not become anything. While they promise you, just say to yourself, let me obey Papa first. I said, take form, enter into school, start to do a degree program while you wait for their promise. Are you spoiling anything? He said, no. I said, okay, if as at the time they send for you, you can leave the school and go. But let's see what happens. These guys started school from 100 level, 200 level. They were still waiting, though. But thank God they obeyed me. They had entered 200 level, 300 level, 400 level. Five years, they finished school. The persons that they were waiting on had not done anything for them. That's how they would have waited all those years and gotten nothing. And somebody under the sound of my voice is still waiting for somebody. I speak to you, wait no more. Carry yourself away from that place and get involved with the persons that will help your life to move forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not everywhere your life will blossom. Your life will blossom somewhere. 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 Locate that place. Locate that person. Locate that business so that your life can amount to something. In Jesus' mighty name. Isaac located, connected first to God, for his connectivity made him to collect greatness. Isaac located the place. He dwelt in Gerar. Even though there was famine at that time, he remained there. And the third thing that led to his greatness is investment. Someone say investment. So I ask you today, what's your investment? What's your investment? What's your investment level like? What's your investment level like? Let me give you a short and a small scenario of people who end up becoming poor and destitute in life. Every one of us might not have finances to invest to begin with. Am I talking now? Because investment is using what you have to get what you need. Using what you have. Simplest term. To get what you need. Or to get something bigger than what you have. Using what you have to get something that you need. Or using what you have to get something bigger than that which you have. And what you have might be not just finance. It might be time. It might be your energy, raw power. It might be your abilities, your talents. It might be your ideas. When you put it to work, when you use it, you are investing it because you want to get something out of it. Now hear this. A man that might not have finance might have raw energy. Am I correct? To be a laborer. Might have the ability to drive. Might have the ability to cook. And is a cook, a caterer. Might have the ability to sew using their talent. Or might have the ability to work anywhere and get paid at the end of the month. Am I talking now? What you are paid is what you get in return of your investments. That's your dividend. Are you following me, church? Now the mystery is, if you do not take what you have gotten and look for something to invest it on, you will keep at a pace of life that all you get out of life is based on all you do with your own strength. And the time will come when you might not have that strength to walk anymore. And once you cannot walk anymore, money stops coming. And that's why you find people in desperate situations as they grow in life. So what is the wisdom of the wise that makes men great? The ability to take what you have received as your dividend, your reward of investment, to take it and invest it on what does not need your physical presence or strength, so that your money begins to work for you. Look at what scripture says concerning him. Verse 13 first. Verse 13. 26, verse 13. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became what? Very great. Look at verse 14. For he had possessions of what? Flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, where did he get these possessions from? Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land, which means he invested in that land, and received in the same year what? An hundredfold. That was his dividend. And the Lord blessed him. Please follow closely. What he received as a dividend was what he used to get his possessions. What he received as a dividend, he used to get his possessions. He did not eat his dividends. He did not eat his hundredfold. He used his hundredfold to get possessions. I want to ask you this morning, what do you use your hundredfold to get? What do you use the profit you get out of business, out of life? What do you use it to get? You know where many of us miss it? What comes into our hands that we should reinvest, we eat it. What comes into our hands that we should reinvest, we use it to buy clothes, to buy shoes. We use it to flex. And we start the process all over again. And that's the error to life. Your level of comfort will not be great. You will not go forward. The first thing about Isaac was that he was great. He waxed great. Did he stop there? By virtue of his investments, taking his hundredfold and putting it more and more in investments, he went forward. Verse 13. Look at it. And the man waxed great and went forward. He reinvested some more until he became what? Very great. I know you are great now. But can you not go forward in greatness? Can you not get to the point where you become very great? That is the realm God is calling us into in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the one I like, which is in verse 14. It says, for he had possessions of flocks and of herds. Possession means what I can call my own. Make I ask you now, what is it that you can call your own? At least, I am 56 now. I'm not a small picking again. What can I call my own? How old are you? What can you call your own? Your possession. Now cloth. Now you won't bring. What can you call your own? In business, they say, if you are to liquidate all that you have, liquidate all your properties, how much will it turn out to become? If all the property when you get, they sell them. Plus all the cloth when you don't buy. All the shoe and the bag. How much will it amount to? I met a man of God and he looked at me and said, Bishop, can I tell you one truth? The truth of life? He said, my houses in Lagos alone, my houses in Lagos alone, if I am to sell just a few, 1 billion will be in my hands. 1 billion. If I'm to sell just a few, 1 billion will be in my hands. Please sit down, sir. Thank you. You know why? Because as I was speaking with him, his builder was there. Because some money just came to his hand. He called the builder and said, where can we put this money into now? He never puts money in the bank. He said, which property can we buy now? Which property can we buy? He said, scout. Immediately, the man was looking for a property to buy. And he delivers the money and the property is bought. What can you call your own? What's your possession in life? People who are not wise, they will bring cloth. They will bring shoe and bag. Okay. These are the people I call fools. For the time you buy that cloth, 10,000. The next time you want to sell it, they will buy it for you from how much? How much? 2,000. Have you not watched some of these videos? When you want to sell your property, then you are telling the person, well, I bought it for 10 million. Well, I just want to give it away for 7 million. The person will look at you and say, okay, keep on now. Then you say, okay, how much do you want to sell it? He said, I want to sell it for 500,000. He said, but I bought it for 10 million. He said, hey, that was then now. Now, cargo price, I don't even want to help you, sir. Now, help, I won't help you. If you're not ready to take and make a waka, they go. And because you are desperate, you will sell it. I speak this to you. God must help you to have what you would call my own possession. And possessions can be given to us in two ways. You either inherit it or you use your own fiscal cash to buy it. Why Israel has victory over that land was because, if you read scripture, Abraham paid for the land. That's why the children of Israel can say boldly that they own it. And I speak this. May God give you enough strength and wisdom to be able to know what you want and be able to pay for them in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but have you ever thought about how somebody will walk up to a place and look at a car of 10 million and pay cash for it? I've just been told how that a young man that I know, he bought a woman of God a private jet, bought his mother in the Lord a private jet. For how much? 900 and something million. Almost a billion. Waka go the place, carry money, cash. Not 100,000. Not 1 million. Not 2 million. Not 100 million. Not 200 million. 900 million. And bought a private jet. Not to use, but to dash. You will get there. I prophesy you will get there. I prophesy you will get there. Before he could buy for somebody, he had bought for himself. So he had possessions to such a point where he could buy things himself. Now the one that does me is, are there not times you see things you like, you not feel buy them? Because walk past. You just say, I beg you. Now all these people will be thieves. Now they buy all this kind of thing. Not be thieves. All the people, not be all the people be thieves. Not all these politicians with all chief government money. Now they buy. Genuine men who carry wealth, who have money, they count it life and they buy it. You will be amongst them in the name of Jesus. I prophesy you'll be amongst them in the name of Jesus. People who will have cash, who will be mighty men and women of wealth, Boazes, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive grace to own possessions in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your businesses will yield a hundredfold. Your businesses will yield a hundredfold. Your businesses and investments will yield a hundredfold in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout amen 3 times. Great possessions. He had possession. Flocks. I wrap this up. What's a flock? A group of animals like sheep, goats, hens are the bigger ones, cattle, all those rams, all those big ones. And the Bible says he had them, which means what he possessed were things that could keep on reproducing and enlarging his greatness. So God says, what you possess should be things that should provide more money for you. Not liabilities, but what? But assets. But assets. One of my friends, he says he has a private jet, and that private jet, he uses it for commercial values. In the sense that whenever he wants to use it, he calls it, he uses it. When he's not using it, he allows people to rent it and to use it for charter. And a charter is about 2 to 3 million for just to go and come. And that go and come can just be 3-4 hours. Somebody flies from Abuja into Benin and just does business for 1 or 2 hours and goes back. The charter don't finish. 2-3 million don't reach ground. Go on. If they charter it twice in a day, that's about almost 10 M. Am I talking to somebody here? That's great investment. That's great investment. May God give you wisdom and give me wisdom so that whatever we have, we might be able to put it into commercial value as well in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was exactly what he had. Possessions of flocks, of herds, and he had a store of servants. People who do what he wants them to do, who assist him. Servants are workers who help him to become greater. May that become our portion. Do you know some people, all they do is know how to use people to achieve their purpose? OPB, using other people's brain. OPM, using other people's money. The ability to just coordinate people and use them. A man has 50,000. He says, instead of blowing this 50,000, let me open one business center. And he opens a business center, puts one or two phones, and put one or two things inside there, employs somebody to be working while he's doing something else. Is that not wisdom? But that's, somebody else can take that same 50,000 and go and buy shoe and bag. While the other one's own is producing for him, this one's own is finished. Tomorrow you see that one better and this one begging. It is your destiny to know what to do. Isaac became great because he used the principles of greatness to make his life to be great. Can I tell you the truth? It is not everything prayer just answers to. It's not just everything. But money answers to what? All things. Let your wisdom go around how you can make more money. How you can make more money. The final thing I'll say here as I leave is that there are two dimensions of investments. The first level of investment is investment in the spiritual. The second investment level is in the physical. For when you invest in the spiritual controls what? The physical. So when you invest in God, God controls your physical. All these men whom you see who are great, I can tell you 99% of them who do not serve God are serving some strange powers. They invest so much money in spiritual things, in spiritism, unto strange spirits and strange idols and strange gods, and those ones give them strength to become great upon the face of the earth. Your connectivity with God is key to your greatness. But please, invest in God. Pay your tithe. Give your sacrifices. Give your offerings. For he that gives, the Bible says, it shall be given back to that person in return. How? In good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. Shall God cause men to bring back unto your bosom. In Jesus' mighty name. And then God will direct you to where to sow, what to do business, and who to do business with. I beg you in the name of the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Get involved in spiritual and in kingdom investments and see how God will promote you and prosper you dangerously. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord bless you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And as I stand on this altar, I decree your greatness shall abound. I say your greatness shall abound. You shall increase on every side. The Lord will comfort you on every side. Your victory shall be seen by all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never have a better yesterday. As your days go by, so will your glory go by. Your strength and your provision will increase. Your blessings shall be made manifest for all to see. You will grow great. You will wax great. You will go forward and become so great that you shall be envied. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Shout amen 3 times. Amen.